Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here, 720 WGN. Richard Roper is in today as Anna returns to the program tomorrow. And we are joined now by John Kasich, the former governor of the state of Ohio. The man was a congressman. I remember when he first ran, and I always tell the story, governor, that the first, I'm a Chicago kid, and then I go off to college and on a hill in Licking County, Ohio. And a young congressman, John Kasich, is a young man's running for Congress. And my roommate made me go out and walk for you in the town of Granville, Ohio. And
well, how'd it go?
It went, you know what, it was surprising because I'd never met a Republican.
Better for you than for him.
So I had to figure out how was I going to go walk for a Republican. I mean, I'm from the city. I'd never met a Republican before, and until I went to college, and then I found out that the Republicans are actually okay people, right? And
well, it's funny because I never met a Republican really till I went to college because I grew up in a Democratic home.
Yeah, it's interesting, right? I mean, you went to Ohio State, though, didn't you?
I went to Ohio State.
So you got a book out. It's called "It's Up to Us: 10 Little Ways We Can Bring About Big Change." And I mentioned this going into the tease for this, that I've never read a book by a current or former politician who ever quoted these four people in the same book: Maya Angelou, Eleanor Roosevelt, Nelson Mandela, and Friedrich Nietzsche. I've never seen that happen before. So there you go. Congratulations to you.
How about Bobby Kennedy?
Bobby Kennedy's in here as well. That's true. So let's talk a little bit about, your political career is pretty legendary now, right? Because you were a congressman, then you went, you did television for a while, you came back with the governor of Ohio, very successful governor of Ohio. A lot of people thought that you were going to be the next president of the United States. I think I counted myself among those who thought that you had a really good shot at being that. And obviously 2016 happened. It was a steamroller in a lot of ways for a lot of different reasons. And people have been asking you, can you get back in? Because you've been one of those voices I think a lot of Republicans, moderate Republicans, business guys, suburban Republicans are looking for. And I appreciate what you've written in the book, but is there a political future for John Kasich?
I don't really know. There's no path right now for me to run for president. I just will see if anything changes here. But I'm doing a lot of other things and keeping my voice out there. And just for people who are listening, driving home, this book that I wrote is not about politics, right? As you know. It is not about politics. It is about individuals being able to take their power back. Because many people feel they don't have any power, they feel like situations so screwed up, the ring in their hands, and the point of this is, no, the people have the power. And there are a zillion examples in this book of how people living a life just a little bit bigger than themselves, caring about their neighbor, getting out of their own silos, realizing life doesn't go on forever and that they're made special and they need to do something to leave a mark, that this is about giving people a sense that they're in control, because they are ultimately in control. Politicians aren't in control. They take orders from the people. That's how most big change happens.
Well, Governor, you mentioned Bobby Kennedy, and I think a lot of this actually reminds me of what, of course, President John F. Kennedy said when he said, you know, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. You know, we are lucky enough to be in the greatest country in the world, and a lot of us, you know, have had the privilege of taking advantage of that. And your book is a little bit about, you know, give a little bit back, do a little bit more, leave the world a little bit better place than it was when you entered.
Yes, and you know, like I quote Martin Luther King in there, and Martin Luther King says, if you can't do big things, do little things in a big way. And so in this book, you know, there's a guy, for example, a shoeshine guy, dropped out of school when he was in the eighth grade, and he took tip money for shining shoes, and he gave it to a hospital fund at the Children's Hospital for people who couldn't pay their bills. He gave over $200,000. It's an amazing thing. You know, there's a little girl from Illinois, her name is Florence, they call her Flo, and when that storm was coming up to North Carolina, she told her mother, I need to do something about this, so her little brother pushed her around in a red wagon, and they collected supplies, thinking they needed bandages, but they got more. They filled their garage with supplies, a tractor trailer, ended up picking up all the stuff and taking it to the people in need in North Carolina. How about that girl, huh? Or, you know, or Greta Thunberg, who stood outside the Swedish parliament and said, I care about the earth, and it turned into a global movement. I mean, everybody listening, you're important. You're made special. Figure out what you're supposed to do. Listen to the little voice and go get it done.
Okay. In reading this book, John, I kept thinking to myself, and tell me if I'm wrong. You can tell me I'm wrong, because it isn't. I don't know that the word Trump actually exists in this. I don't remember it being in the book. So or the name Trump. So this is not really what this is about, right? But there is. It seems to me that maybe if you want to look at this from a 30,000-foot perspective, what you're saying in this is that there are people who are getting so caught up in the moment, and they're being so overwrought by the emotion of the moment, and being actually provoked in the moment emotionally, either through whatever media they're consuming, whether it's social media or network media, whatever it is, that they find themselves in a moment where they feel like they have to take a stark position about that. Really, ultimately, and I think there's a great observation you make here, if for one day, I'm paraphrasing here, for one day, the guy who picks up your garbage wasn't on the job, or the Secretary of State wasn't on the job, what would affect you more, right? Which is, you know, we're so caught in the melodrama of Washington.
You got it, man. You got it. I mean, it's and look, the president matters. Of course he does. But you know what? I mean, come on. Don't wring your hands. Figure out what you can do. Vote in the next election. Work for, you know, for whoever you want for president. But just don't sit around and do that. Figure out what you can do where you live to make a change.
There is, but as I was reading it, though, I'm also thinking that you have a lot of people in Washington. You know a lot of people, and you know a lot of people who are in this administration, and you know a lot of people who are working in Congress right now. And I wonder if this is also you sending a message to them that you got to start to think more about the United States of America as a nation, as a republic, as a you know, the rolling hills of the of Ohio and the plains of Illinois and all of that. Stop and think about, you know, day in and day out, that we represent something that's bigger. It's been here longer. This isn't just about this moment.
Yeah, look, you know, you the only person you can please at the end of the day is the person that you're looking at in the mirror. And if you spend your time being a partisan. Look, I'm a Republican, but you know what? The Republican Party was my vehicle and not my master. I'm an American. That's what I care about is America. I don't care if you go to some silly party event or something. I mean, I'm glad the party gave me a chance to have the opportunities to serve like I have, but let's just not get hung up on that. And I'm able to define the party as much as anybody else. So, I mean, the way I look at this is when you're down there, how do you want to be thought of when you leave? And how do you want to think about yourself? And did you say there were things I should have done that I didn't do, and it was silly what I did? And that's the way that people need to think about this. Yeah, you can really be. You know, I had a guy call me the other day. He said there's somebody that wants to meet with you, and you try to give him some advice when he was in the legislature, when you were governor, and you were saying, "Hey, be a you know, step up, do something significant." He said he's now out. He said, could I get a meeting with John Kasich? Because I should have listened to him when I was there. Not that I have all the knowledge. We're all idiots, right? We're all hypocrites. We all fall short. But we can always do a little better tomorrow.
I want to ask you about the Colin Kaepernick part of the book. I think it's fascinating. It's that long. It's just a piece in, you know, part of standing by your principles and things like that. You may be the only nationally recognized Republican to stand up and to try to put into context what that whole Kaepernick kneeling thing was all about. Have you heard? I mean, go ahead. I like your.
No, I'm glad you asked the question. Look, I mean, what is really shocking that most people didn't know is that Colin Kaepernick is a committed Christian. Okay, for those who have faith and all that kind of stuff, that's pretty shocking when people hear that. They don't know who he is. And I think he was trying to make a point about the system and about fairness. I am not convinced at the end of the day that the message ever got sent to anybody. But what I would say to people who listen, before we judge, let us put ourselves in the shoes of somebody else who's been discriminated against. Let us put our feet into the shoes of people who are nervous that when they send their kids out, they may not come home. I mean, let's realize, and that doesn't just go for people who are affected by security, by police, but also think about those police folks whose wife or husband are at home and their kids, and they want the police officer to come home at night. If we begin to think about what each person has to go through, it makes us think a little bit more with compassion, and it gives us more perspective. And it's not such a hard yes or no, and there are hard yeses or nos, but life's complicated. And so I would just want people, instead of jumping to a conclusion, to think for a second, take a breath, and put yourself in their shoes.
All right. Well, John Kasich, It's Up to Us is the book, 10 Little Ways We Can Bring About Big Change. And when you're walking by the Hudson News in the airport and you see it and you stop and you think, I don't want a Trump book. I want to think about something else. I have been just desperately trying to make this about me, but I will, John, that I've been trying desperately to find a way to divorce myself from some of this because it's too like you do. You get caught in it and you get caught in the drama of it. And whether it's through social media or through, you know, what we do.
Yeah.
You know, it's like it can make you a really bad partner. It can make you a really bad, you know, you get caught in this stuff. And I want to enjoy Thanksgiving this year for the first time in 4 years. So I'm trying to get away from it. This does a lot of that. And even though there are things,
you know, I can't tell you how much I appreciate what you just said, and that it really makes it worth the while and the time that I took to put this to put this into words. And, I think this is a book that if you're young, you can it can affect you. If you're middle-aged, you can. If you're older, you can realize that there's still many things that you can do in life. And for Thanksgiving, fighting with your family is nuts. Agree to disagree and look for things that you can agree upon together. Something constructive. Right. That's what I think.
Because everybody walks out even more pointed than they walked into that dinner, right? I mean, it's people become it. We're really taking on too much of an aggressive stance against each other as fellow Americans. And I know that it is benefiting those in Washington who would like to get the edge here, right?
Because what's interesting is I have a friend who's done a lot of things for me. He's a doctor, and he was really great. And he hasn't been speaking to me for well over a year. And I saw him, and I said, "You're mad at me, aren't you?" And he goes, "Oh, no, no." I said, "Come on, you are." He goes, "Well, maybe a little bit." And I looked at him, and I said, "Doctor, because you think differently than I do in politics, that we don't have the right to blow up this friendship and this relationship. We can't do that. That is not right, and that is not the way for us to live. We are friends, and friends are worth, you know, diamonds. So we got to stop it. Even though you have your opinion, I have my opinion, forget it, and let's do something constructive that we can do together."
There you go.
Amen.
Great way to leave it. And
all right, guys.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. John Kasich, It's Up to Us.
All
is
right.
The book.
Thanks,
appreciate
man.
It. Oh, wait.
Thank you.
There he goes.
Can't resist.
I can never give that up. All right, here we go. Lauren Lapko, what's happening on the roadways?